So. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون.
اس آیت کا ترجمہ ہے,
Hazur says that the translation of this verse is that, and when my servants ask thee about me, say that surely I am near. I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me. So they should hearken to me, and they should believe in me, that they may follow the right way. The world today, the extent to which they require to submit before God, to that same extent these people are deviating away from God. In other words, the people of this world who live on this earth, who are called Ashraful Makhluqat, the best of all creation. In order to safeguard themselves from the disorder and the trials and tribulations of this world, and in order to cater for the afterlife, the degree to which they need to establish a relationship with Allah, to that same degree, the relationship between the world and God is weakening. Even those who claim to have a relationship with Allah, they are not giving due regard to those requirements and prerequisites of that relationship, or they are not making efforts in this regard, or they are not aware that in order to establish a relationship with Allah, only faith on the surface or outward faith or worship on the surface or outward worship are not sufficient. In fact, you need to search out for that spirit which takes a person to the depths of faith and worship. Now this is the condition of those people who claim to believe, and those people who claim to have a connection with Allah. But there is a large majority of people in the world, possibly 3/4 of the population of the entire world, who either have set up partners beside God and are indulgent shirk, that is, associating partners with the being of God, or they do not believe in God at all. So these people, they reject the existence of God itself. And they are not limited to just rejecting God personally. In fact, they leave no stone unturned in order to make people in the world not believe in God. But amongst all these circumstances, in all this situation, there is a small group of people who believe in the promises of Allah, and they have firm faith upon this. And the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the promises to the Prophet Muhammad by Allah, these people, they testify to the truth of those prophecies and promises. These people believe in the following fact, that in this time, when the world is forgetting the creator of the heavens and the earth and forgetting the master of this universe, or they do not have the full comprehension and discernment of God, Allah the Almighty, to demonstrate His providence, and in order to remove the world from its current state of turmoil and disorder, and in order to bring people close to God, He sent an Imam of the time. And this group, or this community, or this Jamaat, with the grace of Almighty Allah, is a Jamaat of ours, the Ahmadis. However, to remain on this belief and to remain established in this faith that the person who was to be sent is sent, is this belief alone sufficient? And that one who has come, or the few disciples of that one who has come, they establish a relationship with Allah, and they also make efforts to remove the disorder, is that alone sufficient? If this is the belief and thinking of us Ahmadis, then our thinking will be akin to those people who only claim to believe and only claim to worship. However, their actions tell a different story. If we are not careful of our own state and our own condition and give due regard towards our own state, if we are not those who establish a living relationship with our Lord, if in our children, in our progeny, and in our environment and society, we do not make those people identified with the coming Imam, we do not inform them of this, then we also would be amongst those who found something and then lost it. We would have incurred the enmity of the world, and we would also not have inquired Allah the Almighty. So therefore, after becoming an Ahmadi, after coming into the Pledge of Allegiance, the Bayat of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, you need to make efforts to infuse that spirit within yourself that should be in a true worshipper of Allah. You would need to acquire those standards and levels which the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to establish. And when Allah the Almighty gave the news to the Prophet Muhammad that this faith and belief would relinquish from the Ummah to the Muslim people, then the Prophet Muhammad became concerned and worried. But when Allah the Almighty saw the state of the Prophet Muhammad, he accepted his prayers and he said to the Prophet that وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, that apart from them there is another peoples who have not yet joined them, and Allah is the mighty, the wise. In short, this anxiety of the Prophet Muhammad was abated by Allah by him saying that, O Muhammad, just as Allah the Almighty made that ignorant and uneducated nation into people of God, just as those people who were engrossed in all sorts of ignorant and immoral activities who did not believe in God, those same people became those who established high standards of worship. Similarly, despite the fact that the Muslim community in the future would deviate, in the latter days, in the end of times, a true lover of yours would be raised up. Then, through this true lover of yours, I would make that great worshipper or servant of Allah, the Merciful, who would fully do justice to being my servant and my worshipper. So God said that, O Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, although there will be a temporary decline, but the mighty and the wise God, he has decreed the following, that now the faith of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for all mankind will be the true means of salvation. Now, the faith of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in order to remove the disorder and turmoil of the world, is the true cure. And now this faith and this religion alone will demonstrate its beauty and will become dominant over all other religions of the world. Now, in order to establish a relationship with Allah, the Messiah of Muhammad, and the followers of this Messiah Muhammad, it is they who have to play their prominent role. So therefore, Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds, in order to save the Ashraful Makhlukat, that is the best of creation, from ruin and going to waste, in order to give the Khairi Ummah, the best of people, their true status, he has provided this means, and he will continue to provide this means, and he gave this reassurance to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that your true lover, your ardent devotee would come, who would once again revive the faith in the world. However, this Messiah and Mahdi, from the beneficence of the Prophet Muhammad, it is through his blessings that he would arrive. In one place, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, speaking about the Rububiyat, or the providence of the Lord of all the worlds, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that Allah, the glorious and the holy, in his word Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds, he indicates that he is the creator of everything, and everything that is in the heavens and the earth, everything emanates from him. And on this earth, all the communities that are rightly guided, or all the communities that are deviated from the right path or immoral, they are all part of this Alameen, that is, all the worlds. At times, the Alam, the realm of misguidance and disbelief and transgression, it flourishes to the extent that the earth becomes immersed in injustice and tyranny, and people abandon the ways of Allah, the Lord and Majesty. They neither appreciate the nature of the relationship between the Creator and His creatures, and neither do they give due to what Him, the Provider, is due. The world becomes like a dark night, and the faith is pulverized and suppressed under this darkness. Then Allah initiates another alam or realm, and then the earth is replaced with another earth, and a new decree descends from the heaven. Men are subsequently granted perceiving hearts, that are hearts that are able to identify. And in order to render thanks to Allah for His bounties, they are given eloquent tongues that can speak. Therefore, they make their own selves like well-trodden paths before the Lord of Greatness, and they run to Him in fear and hope. And their glances are downcast with modesty, and their countenances turn wistfully to their Provider of all needs. Their attention draws to the way that can fulfill all their needs. Their regard is towards Allah, and in their worship and in their servitude, with such affection and love they encompass it, that takes them to the loftiest heights. Such people are needed most when misguidance has reached its highest peak, and the degradation of the condition of people turns them into beast-like and animal-like. It is at this moment that divine compassion and eternal favor demands and requires that a person be raised in the heaven, who should dispel this darkness, and he should demolish that which Satan has built up and raised up. Then the merciful Lord, from him an imam or a leader descends, so that he can fight the armies of Satan. And both these forces, the forces of Satan and the forces of the imam, they both join battle, and only those perceive this who are gifted with true insight. To the extent that falsehood is totally obliterated, and the mirage-like reasoning and the superficial logic are totally eradicated. So therefore that imam overcomes and dominates the enemy and lends constant support to the rightly guided. He raises aloft the banners of guidance and reviving the seasons and gatherings of piety until people come to realize that he has succeeded in capturing the ringleaders of disbelief, fastening hard their fetters, and has rounded up the beasts of falsehood, and has placed halters around their necks, and that he has destroyed the structures of innovations, dismantling their domes. Hazur says, this great revolution that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has detailed, this has come through the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and this is what the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is depicting. So was this a temporary revolution? Was this just a temporary realm that was produced by him? That when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came, that this all happened. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of all the prophets. His time was to be until the end of times. His ummah, or his people, was that people who were to be dominant until the end of days. And he was the prophet of this ummah. So as I have stated, Allah the Almighty, in order to maintain this revolution, he informed the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that in the latter days, another person would be sent. Explaining this further, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that then, Allah the Holiest has indicated in His title, Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds, that He is the creator of everything. And in the heavens and the earth, He alone is praised. And then those who praise him are constantly engaged in this praise of his, and they remain totally immersed in this remembrance of Allah. And there is nothing but that remembers and praises and glorifies him at all time. When one of his servants discards his own desires, is emptied of all his passions, is utterly focused and centered on Allah the Almighty, he recognizes this Lord of his, that Lord who nurtured him by his favor, and this person glorifies him at every moment, and he loves him with all his heart, and even all parts and aspects of his body express that love for Allah. It is then that this person, amongst that alameen, the worlds, becomes an alam, a world or a realm. It is thus that the Abraham, peace be upon him, was named Ummat in the book of the Quran, or the most knowledge. Amongst the alameen or the realms, there was an alam or a realm when the seal of the Prophet's peace and blessings of Allah be upon him was raised. And there was to be another alam or realm when Allah, showing mercy for his seekers in the latter days, was to bring forth another party of the faithful. Allah the Almighty has indicated this in his word, Lahul hamdu fil awla wal akhir. That is, to him belongs all praise in the beginning and the hereafter. Allah the Almighty has referred to two Ahmads, and by mentioning these two Ahmads, he has described them as his two great bounties. The first of the Ahmad is our Prophet, the Mustafa, the chosen and our elect Prophet, on whom be the peace and blessings of Allah. And the other Ahmad is the Ahmad of the latter days, whose name has been designated from Allah the Gracious as the Messiah and the Mahdi. I have deciphered this point from Allah's word, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. So everybody who ponders should deeply reflect upon this. This is from the book of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Ijazul Masih. Both these references are from this book. So therefore, the perfect following of that perfect worshipper and servant of Allah, and because of the extent of his incredible love for that great worshipper, and because of removing all his own personal desires, and because of giving himself up entirely in the entity of Allah, in the latter days, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who once again, who showed us the path of great love, loyalty and servitude to Allah the Almighty. As I have stated, through the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Allah the Almighty inculcated that revolution that the rejectors of Allah and those who associated partners with Allah, they became men of God. And they then informed the world and nations and countries of the world. They were then developed into people who were men of God and who worship the one God. But then, due to forgetting Allah, immersing themselves in materialism, because of forgetting the purpose of their creation, they were deprived of the blessings and rewards of Allah. Most certainly, even in that period of darkness, in order to continue that sequence of that spiritual system, Allah the Almighty did raise his holy and his righteous persons in the local vicinities. That reputation, that dignity, that grandeur and splendor, that relationship with Allah the Almighty that was found, generally speaking, amongst the Muslims of the early time, that is what vanished. So therefore, now that revolution that Allah the Almighty proclaimed would occur through the second Ahmad. That is to be sustained and maintained by the followers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And those who are his followers are those who truly believe in him. They have to become Abdul Rahman, the servants of that merciful Allah. And by asking from Allah, they can become this. It is then that we can fulfill the duty and right of being called distinguished from the other Muslims. Otherwise, as I have said, just claiming to believe is nothing alone, from which we can assume that we are different from others. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came. And he carried out excellent and incredible works for the revival and the rejuvenation of the faith of Islam. He produced such servants of that merciful Lord who received revelation. Such people were born up who fully did justice to being servants of Allah. So although through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the fulfillment of the latter days and the Akhirin was fulfilled, and then his companions attained that rank that joined them with the people of the earlier times. However, now the prophecies relating to this system and the advancement of this community, they are until the end of times. When we proudly relate this and mention this, then just mentioning all these prophecies and these promises are not sufficient. In order to be a part of that revolution, we will need to understand our responsibilities. We should not just be happy upon the state of our holy and elder ones. We need to continue that sequence, which in the shape of the revolution, the companions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in their lives, we see that revolution. Today, to save the world from great calamities, and in order to establish a link between the world and Allah, this responsibility is upon every Ahmadi. So until we do not make individual and also communal efforts, until every person does not understand his responsibilities in this regard and does not discharge those responsibilities to the full extent, we cannot consider ourselves truly to be amongst those who are a part of that second Ahmad's community. And we will not be able to discharge this duty adequately until we do not establish the highest levels of worship, until we do not try to become that great servant and worshipper of Allah that allow us to truly demonstrate fastajibu li, that we should hearken to Allah's words. Until we do not become a practical illustration of wal yu'minu bi, those who believe truly in Allah. It is a great favor of Allah the Almighty that in order to cater for our own situations and state, He has enabled us to pass through another Ramadan al-Mubarak, where we have another opportunity to come near to Allah, that we can say that we have hearkened to the words of Allah and new paths of coming towards Allah have opened for us. So therefore, fortunate are those amongst us who in this Ramadan attain the honor of becoming this Ibadi, that is the people of Allah, that we become those who with a great passion and interest try to attain the pleasure of Allah. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, speaking on the significance of this month, said that this month is the most excellent month for illuminating one's heart. He says that Salat or prayer purifies the soul, and Saum or fasting reforms or transforms one's heart. In order to give light to the heart, this month is a great month indeed. Hazur says, what makes this month an excellent month? It does not have any significance on its own. For example, all other months have 30 days. This month is an excellent month, because in this month, God has given the opportunity to combine two forms of worship. And He has given this opportunity for people to attain that objective. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that purification or reformation of the soul means that from the evil of nafs-e amara, a person should free himself from that. That is a self that invites the evil. And purification of the heart means the door of revelation is opened up so that he can see Allah. Hazur says, so this is our ultimate objective that we need to make strenuous efforts to obtain. In Ramadan, there are two worships that combine together. As I said, there is prayer and also fasting. So therefore, in Ramadan, you need to develop your prayers into a special state through which you can attain such a purification where the evil and immoralities of your vices can be removed to such a degree that we can hear the voice of Inni Kareeb, that God says, I am near you. our prayers, our fast should not be limited only to the month of Ramadan. Our passion to perform these should not be limited to this month. In fact, the intention behind this should be that reformation that we want to inculcate, that should be a permanent reformation. That we should be those who always hearken to the commands of Allah. That we need to enhance and further polish our faith. We need to do all of this with the following thought, that today, on the one hand, our sustenance is in the following, that we should become true servants and worshippers and men of Allah. And the sustenance of mankind is also linked with us. If we are in darkness ourselves, then how can we show people the right path? If we do not truly comprehend the depths of ibadi, that is Allah's servants, then how can we guide others? So as I stated, that in this era, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to further that mission which the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was sent for. So therefore, that question that the men of Allah who wanted to acquire Allah asked of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that same question was asked of the great lover of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he explained to them the ways of reformation and the ways of attaining nearness to Allah. And he brought a jama'ah, the community around him. And this same question, the world is asking the community of believers. So therefore, the Jamaat of the believers can adequately and suitably answer this question only then when every member of that community has attained that standard and level that the people who hearken to the words of Allah should acquire, and those people who increase in faith should attain. When Allah the Almighty will be responding to our supplications to Him, when we have the true discernment and comprehension of Inni Qareeb, that Allah says, I am near you. Nowadays, everywhere in the world, we are seeing turmoil and disorder, whether in the East or in the West, whether it is in Muslim countries or in developed Christian countries, there is an anxiety, a restlessness that has immersed the world. And in the last few days, in this very country, the rioting and looting that has been demonstrated, this has also opened the eyes of the people here. It is not only the poor countries whose peace is threatened. The peace of the people here is also under threat. So there is only one solution to this, that the world needs to be made into those who are servants of Allah. But how? We do not have any power. And neither through any worldly power can we make the world identify God. In order to cater for the state of the world, there is only one means that the Imam of this time has explained to us. That where you spread this message of peace, there with prayers also ask for Allah's help. Give more attention and efforts towards prayer. Where you make efforts, there you should also give extra special attention towards prayer. But as I have already stated previously, that Allah's help and the acceptance of prayers will only be given to those people who truly implement the commands of Allah and are those who strengthen their faith and belief in God. The different ways of acceptance of prayer that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained to us, I will briefly mention a few of these. What are those aspects through which a person can hearken towards or listen to? Through which Allah the Almighty listens to prayers and responds to them. What kind of faith is required that takes a person towards the true path of guidance and strengthens the relationship between a person and God? One stipulation that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has expounded is that person must tread on taqwa, righteousness, and the fear of Allah. The fear of Allah must always be before him. This must always be in view. that Allah is watching me at all times. Every action, every deed is before Him. There should be no deed of mine that could lead to Allah being angry with me. All my body parts and particles should be in accordance with Allah's will and commands. And the relationship with all of God's creation and all my moral values, they should all be in accordance with Allah's desire and decree. And this is true taqwa. A person's ears, nose, hands, feet, all his body parts, they should be acting in a way that is pleasing to God. And this can be achieved at the following time. When a person has full and complete belief in Allah, the Promised Messiah said, develop perfect belief in God. This is why the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also explained the following significant point, that in order for prayers to be accepted, you need to have complete, full and perfect belief in Allah. Then you need to have the following belief, that if there is a God, and this heavens and earth and this entire universe and all universes and all those things for which we have either knowledge or do not have knowledge of, the creator of all of these things is God. And not only is He the creator, He is the master of all powers as well. He is the source of all power and everything. He has the might and He has the power. That whatever He has created, He can also finish. He has the power to create anything. He gives life and He also causes death. He can bring the death to life and He also causes the living to die. And He incorporates such revolutions through the power of prayer that causes those who are dead to be infused with a new spirit. So when we incorporate such faith that Allah is master of all powers and He has the power to listen to our prayers and to answer and respond to them, and He does accept prayers, He accepts those prayers that He feels are beneficial. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, said, Allah the Almighty listens and responds to those prayers that He feels are beneficial. That another stipulation for the acceptance of prayers is that there should be a great heartfelt passion and pain in the prayer. It is not that you just say a few verbal words in the prayer and then you alleviate yourselves from the prayer. In fact, there should be heartfelt passion and there should be tears flowing down your cheeks. And these tears should be flowing down with the following thought, that Allah the Almighty is that final support, that ultimate support who can truly accept my prayers. There should be a state of helplessness. There should be a complete need and helplessness and weak state, that this is the ultimate state, that without this help I cannot attain anything. The Promised Messiah said this should be the state of your prayers. Then another condition of the acceptance of prayers is humbleness or humility. It is this humbleness that brings a person near to Allah. This is why in one place the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, deem yourself to be the worst of all, for this may take you to the abode where you meet God. That when you reach the highest degrees of humbleness, when you consider yourself as much lower and nothing, when you rid yourselves of all arrogance and pride, it is only then that there can be an opportunity to develop a relationship with Allah. Otherwise, that pride and that arrogance will prevent you from bringing you near to Allah. And when you do not have the nearness to Allah, then the acceptance of prayers cannot be achieved. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states in one place that that prayer that is done with modesty, with humbleness, and with a complete acceptance of defeat before Allah, that attracts the mercy and grace of Allah, and that takes one to the true purport and objective. But the difficulty is that this as well cannot be attained without the blessings and grace of Allah. So Hazur says that the true means of prayer and its acceptance is through prayer itself. When a person constantly and intensifies prayers, then he is given the means of prayers. So, in other words, in order to be given the ability to have your prayers accepted, you need to pray. So, when you have this consideration, then negligence from prayer and performing those acts that take you away from the acceptance of prayer can never occur. Which Allah the Almighty has said are a means of drawing nearer to Him. The Promised Messiah states that Allah the Glorious, the door He has opened for the goodness and the betterment of His mankind is just one, and that door is the door of prayer. When a person enters this door crying and weeping, then that great Lord Allah the Almighty wraps him with the cloak of purity and cleanliness. And Allah's greatness overcomes a person so much that that person runs far away from performing any acts of vice or immorality. So therefore, fortunate are those people who, through weeping and crying, purify themselves and they save themselves from the enjoyments and the immoralities of this world. And they become amongst those who are the near ones to Allah, upon whom Allah the Almighty causes them to be overcome by His greatness. And who Allah the Almighty ensures are removed from immoral acts. But for this to be achieved, a person needs to make efforts. He needs to submit before Allah. This is the system of the nature of the world. This is Allah's system. This is the system of the law. This is what Allah has stated. Then, for the sake of the acceptance of prayers, amongst the commandments of Allah, which is a very important commandment, I have stated it before, that there are the rights of Allah and the rights of Allah's creation. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states in this regard that you should become such that neither should any of the rights of Allah or creation remain a burden upon you. Remember, he who eradicates the rights of people, his prayer will not be accepted because he is a cruel person and an oppressor. Then the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that the mercy of Allah descends upon a person who, in a state of peace, becomes so fearful and terrified, in a way that a person would normally become fearful and terrified in a state of great anxiety or great trouble. That is, he should fear Allah in a state of peace and relative tranquility in a way that he would fear when he is in great trouble. A person who does not supplicate to Allah in a state of peace, Allah does not respond to him in a state when he is in trouble. And a person who, in a state of peace, he relaxes, and in a state of trouble or disorder, he then prays. His prayer will not be accepted. So therefore, the Promised Messiah said, in a state of peace, in a state of relaxation and happiness, even in that state, you should pray to Allah. This is the secret of the acceptance of prayers. When Allah the Almighty says that, listen to what I'm saying, so this is amongst those things that He says to listen to, that in every state, ask for prayers from Allah, not only in the month of Ramadan, not only in a time of difficulty, not only when you are in trouble. Even in the state of peace, even in a state of tranquility, in normal circumstances, it is essential that you submit and prostrate before Allah. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, another aspect important for the acceptance of prayers that a person should inculcate pious reformations within himself. If he cannot desist from evil acts, if he breaks the limits of Allah, then there is no effect of his prayer. So when Allah the Almighty has said, فَيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, that hearken to my words, or hearken to me, or they should listen and obey to what I say, then we would need to search out for all those words that Allah the Almighty has commanded us to act out, so that we can act on those words, and that we can attain nearness to Allah. And after searching out all those commands, we would need to desist from doing all those acts that Allah the Almighty has instructed us to desist from. And the Holy Quran, it has hundreds of commands. The Promised Messiah states in one place that Allah's greatness embedded in your hearts, and the glory of Allah the Almighty should be right before your eyes. And remember that in the Holy Quran there are nearly 500 commands. They are linked to every part of your body, your every capability, your every state and condition. They are linked to every single one of your act, every level of your comprehension and understanding, in accordance with your nature and the level of your spirituality, and whether individually or you do things communally. He has given you an invitation, so therefore you should accept this invitation with great gratitude. and the amount of food that has been provided for you, you should devour that all and take benefit from it. I say honestly that a person who neglects even one of the commands of the Holy Quran, that on the day of resurrection, he will be held accountable and he will be asked about this. If you desire salvation, adopt the faith of the holy people and adopt the yoke of submission of the Holy Quran. And Deen al-Ajaiz, the people of old, entails that those commands of the Holy Quran, to the extent possible, you should act upon that. After that, if you progress further in those commandments, then you will attain high levels. But the foundation is the commands of Allah, the commands of the Holy Quran, however they have been expounded, you should try to implement them. So the Promised Messiah alayhi salam continues that, put the yoke of the Holy Quran around you. The arrogant will be thrown into hell. And that person who humbly submits, he will be safe from ruin and death. Do not worship Allah with conditions and stipulations, because that will lead you to nowhere. In fact, you should worship Him for the following reason, because worship is the right of Allah upon you. It requires that your entire life should be engulfed in worship. And the only purport of your actions, that true lover, that true benefactor, that is God, He should be pleased with us. Because if you have any thought less than us, if you think anything other than this, that will lead you to stumble. Hazur says that Allah make it so that during this Ramadan we understand this aspect and we become those who please the true benefactor, that is God. So along with this Ramadan, the acceptance of prayers, adopting and implementing the commands of Allah, strengthening the faith, and combining the principles of guidance, the reminders that Allah the Almighty has given us in this regard, that for the betterment of people and to save them from tribulations and disorder and trouble, I am always ready for all of this. But a person needs to fulfill the right of being a worshipper and a servant of Allah. And they would have to become those who wholly dedicate themselves to Allah and become amongst His chosen people. And you would have to implement those things, you would have to act upon that teaching that Allah's special people, Allah's chosen people have brought for the mankind. So that we find the majority of the world are the servants and the worshippers of Allah. And that because of these servants of Allah, the world becomes a haven of love, peace and harmony. So that in this world we see the scenes of paradise-like atmosphere. So our claim of strengthening our faith, our claim to respond to the caller and the crier of this time, the important injunction of compassion and sympathy of mankind that has been placed upon the divine communities, this requires of every one of us that we become amongst those who are the pure ones of Allah, amongst those whose prayers are accepted, amongst those people who in their conditions inculcate a great revolution, amongst those people who because of the sympathy and compassion to mankind, they make efforts to safeguard them from performing evil and immoral acts. So therefore, this Ramadan is here to give us training about these things and in order to attain the status of a true worshipper and servant of Allah, and to further enhance and add a passion and zeal to our faith. So fortunate amongst us are those who take great benefit from this. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to achieve this in order to save the world from its turmoil and disorder. In order to save the world from ruin and destruction, there is no need for any worldly provisions and neither can it have any use whatsoever. There is only need for one weapon, and that weapon is the weapon of prayer. So therefore, during this Ramadan, where you pray for yourself, where you pray for the faith of your children and for them to have a connection with Allah, pray also to save this world from destruction and ruin. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, said that it is a great fortune of Muslims that their God is the God who listens to prayers. Hazur says, but the true understanding and comprehension of this is today only understood by Ahmadis. So therefore, if our God is He who responds to prayers, then there should be no cause for frustration, and most certainly we are not frustrated, and we are totally steadfast in this belief that inshallah, God enabling, all of those aspects will be fulfilled that are related to the progress of the Jamaat and which have been expounded by the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, inshallah, God enabling. And Most surely, those days will come when the flag of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, will raise aloft over the entire world, and a majority of the world will consist of those people who are on the right path and who acquire true guidance. I will remind once again that never forget this prayer, that Allah keep us amongst those people who are truly guided and pure and sincere. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to take beneficence from the blessings of this month of Ramadan. Today again, after the Friday prayers, I will lead some funeral prayers. There is a funeral prayers of Raja Muhammad Mirza Khan Sahib, retired of Rabwa. He passed away on the 4th of August at the age of 90. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He served in the army and he also had the opportunity to serve in the World War II. Then, before the creation of Pakistan, during the era of Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, he came to Qadian and he stayed there, and he had the beneficence of being in the presence of Hazrat Musleh Maud. He had the opportunity to serve also in the Furqan battalion. He was enabled to carry out some important works in 1953. He would carry out the Hajjat, he would recite the Holy Quran and perform the prayer regularly. He would also always remain content. He had full trust in Allah. He also had a great passion to invite people towards Allah. He had a great relationship with Khilafat. And every program of the Khalifa of the time, he would watch very carefully and try to remember that. He was a Musi. He is left behind with three daughters and two sons. One of his sons is Raja Munir Sahib, who is the principal of Jamia Ahmadiyya Junior Section in Rabwa. His second son is the Amuri Kharja Secretary of Germany, and his name is Raja Muhammad Yusuf Sahib. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. The second funeral is of Amina Begum Sahiba, the wife of Sheikh Nazir Ahmed Sahib of Dero Rahmat Rabwa. She passed away on 7th August. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She is from among the very early residents of Rabwa who migrated from Qadian. She was extremely righteous, very contented and very sincere and devoted lady. She had great loyalty and affection towards Khilafat. On the local or regional level, for more than 50 years she worked in different departments of Lajna. She also received certificates or awards for high performance and output. The education and the moral training of her children she would take care of, and also the children of the area she would also teach the Holy Quran. Her son is Sheikh Mubarak Ahmed Sahib Nazir Baitul Mal Ahmed in Rabwa. Her second son is Sheikh Munir Ahmed Sahib, who is in Germany, who is the Qayyad of Dawatullah of Ansarullah. And one of her son-in-laws is also a missionary. She had great relationships with the neighbors of sincerity. She had also undertook the wasiyat. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of this deceased lady.
Alhamdulillahi namadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.